Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today from Chicago is Ted Banks. Ted is a well-regarded and well-known speaker at SCCE events. He's also a partner at the firm of Scharf, Banks & Marmer, where he helps companies improve their compliance program. In addition to that, Ted serves as a monitor for the FTC and Canadian Competition Bureau, and an adjunct professor at Loyola Law School. He was also a longtime compliance officer for Kraft Foods. Ted, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
So today we're going to talk about an interesting topic, is what happens when you leave the general counsel's office, or you go from being outside counsel and are suddenly a compliance officer. Obviously, there's a lot of changes that you have to do in your thinking. What are some of the sort of first steps that, you know, you went through as you became a compliance officer and you've seen others having to adjust to?
Yeah, my learning in this area came, I'd say, probably painfully for my clients over a period of years, because it took me a while to realize that the work that a compliance officer does may have a legal content or legal connection, but it's different than the work that a lawyer does. And when I first got involved in compliance, when I was in-house at Kraft, I didn't quite understand that difference. And what I ended up doing was essentially reteaching law school to employees, where they were usually polite about it, but it was obvious, at least obvious to me later, that they were not really connecting with what I was saying. One of them finally told me, look, if I had wanted to be a lawyer, I would have gone to law school. And the bottom line was, they want to know what they should know in order to do their business, and in order to do their business better, and certainly without getting in trouble with any sort of enforcement agency. So what I realized at some point was that lawyers are very concerned about getting things right. Particularly if you're a litigator, you want to draft that brief or pleading perfectly, have everything footnoted properly, and no detail spared lest someone get you on some point you missed. And while that sort of thoroughness is certainly admirable for lawyers in most cases, it's not the way a compliance officer should approach what he or she is doing. And it dawned on me after a while that much of my training as a lawyer and much of my experience as a lawyer was running absolutely contrary to what my mission was as a compliance officer.
And that leads to, you know, a question I have is sort of, what's a good rule of thumb about how much people really need to know? You know, I've used the analogy before at the, you know, when you go to get your driver's license, you got to understand what the laws of the road are, but you don't need to know them. You don't need a lawyer riding alongside you, and you don't need to know every nuance. You need to know what's the important thing. How do you sort of gauge yourself, you know, at where it is that you say, okay, this is way too much. I need to just focus on, you know, like you said, the issues of what do I do, what do I don't, what do I not do?
Yeah, and that's really a great analogy, Adam, because one of the best compliance documents that all of us have run into is the booklet prepared by your local motor vehicle office about the rules of the road or how to get your license. And they've, over the years, have done a great job of synthesizing what you need to know as a driver without getting into a, you know, I don't know if there's any statutory citations or the basis of those statements. It says, here's what you need to know. So if we expand that concept out, you can say things like, all right, I understand that my company has a risk of violating the antitrust laws. And the antitrust laws are very complex and difficult, and there are a lot of different ones. And oh my gosh, which one can I leave out when I talk to them? So my first attempt at doing an antitrust compliance manual resulted in a 50-page document, which every other lawyer in the department thought was terrific because it was thorough and every reference to a statute or a case was cited properly, and it was really fairly bulletproof. And it would certainly impress other lawyers who saw it, and it probably would impress a government enforcer who is maybe inquiring into our antitrust compliance program and take a look at that, and they'd see that and they'd say, wow, you guys really covered everything. But as you start to parse it, and as I gained more experience over the years, I realized that it was overkill. There were a lot of things in there that didn't need to be in there. And starting with subject matter, did I really need a section on director interlocks, which is one of the U.S. antitrust laws, but I'll say somewhat more obscure? It certainly didn't apply to every employee, and it the odds of a company having a problem in that area were pretty low. So those are the kind of things you could chop out. Then the next thing I realized was most people, except lawyers, don't care about the reason why you do something. So they don't need a citation to the Sherman Act for a statement that you shouldn't fix prices. But what they need to know is what shouldn't they do or what should they do? And ultimately, I was able to take that 50-page booklet, which I'm still proud of. It was very good, but it was just too much. And I decided I would try an exercise. Could I boil that down into one PowerPoint slide with four or five bullet points? And the answer is yes, I could. And if you think about it, we'd say, okay, what kind of activities pose the risk for employees? And start out by saying, well, you don't talk about prices with competitors. And so you could come up with a few bullet points of the key parts of the antitrust law. And then the final one is, if you have any questions, here's where you go for more information. And that I tried to boil everything down in that way because that's really all the employees want. They want to know what do I need to do? I don't need a full-blown explanation of the reasons why. That's your job. Just tell me what I need to do.
In some ways, it sounds like what you really need to do is get back to what are sort of the fundamental principles here, rather than what are all the nuances.
Yes, exactly right. And make sure that people understand those fundamental principles. For example, if you're talking about insider trading, if you go back into the securities laws, it has to do with fraud. And that really doesn't, it's hard to explain. It's hard to make that leap from securities fraud to insider trading. So just say, if you have this kind of information, you don't trade in the securities of that stock. But really boil it down to the essence of say, what's the principle? What do they need to know? And don't try and give the complete foundation of every statement you make.
Well, that's definitely would make things a lot easier for people to understand. One of the other areas that can be a risk, is going to this dotting every I, crossing every T, making sure you got a million footnotes, is you can end up in a situation where, you've technically met every compliance requirement, but you're really not serving creating a culture of compliance. It's sort of like it's extreme version of I remember listening to Andrew Fastow speak, and he said, I discovered that I could do everything technically correct but still commit fraud.
Right.
Because ultimately all it was, was problematic. Here, I guess that's also a risk that you can get so caught up in what the legal requirements are that you're really not creating something that's durable and works. How do you rearrange your mindset so that you're not just looking at all the details, but thinking big picture for yourself and encouraging others to think that way too.
And that's a very good point, and it sort of gets into another area of discussion beyond the scope of this one about whether lawyers should even be compliance officers, but we'll leave that for another time. The issue I think you always have to consider is putting yourself in the shoes of the employee and figuring out what they need to do their job, what they want to be able to succeed in their job, thinking about things that you could include in the compliance message that are actually motivators. One thing that I discovered after conducting some focus groups with employees was they were all interested in getting ahead and doing better. And so whenever I could, I built in a message into compliance communications or compliance training about, and by the way, if you want to move ahead as a marketing manager, you need to be really familiar with the rules that govern creation of ads, because when you create an advertisement, if in fact it's going to be bounced several times because you're making claims that you can't make, it's going to sort of drag you down. But if you get the reputation as being the one who aces the copy on the first go around, that'll start to bolster your reputation as someone who really gets it and is really the master of all the skills that relate to the job. So I try to build that in. I also try to build in the compliance messages to other training. So if the human resources department is responsible for doing training on, let's say, how to be a better salesman, you can build in compliance messages along the way that the employees don't recognize as being a compliance message. So for example, to pick up on our antitrust theme, saying something like, and if you're at a customer's location and you bump into a salesman for a competitor, of course you don't talk about anything relating to competition. And you don't necessarily say that because it's illegal, but you could say, you know, there's nothing to be gained by that. Why give away our competitive advantage to the competitors, et cetera? So they think of that as a message of how to do their job better, not necessarily as, oh, this is what I have to do because it's the compliance rules.
I spent 13 years of my life in advertising, and you always try and make the message one that communicates a benefit to the person who's receiving it, and making it not a list of just thou shalt nots, but it's that which you can do to help yourself is certainly one that's much more likely to gain acceptance from the people that you're communicating to. Well, we're running out of time. Are there any last tips you want to give people who are moving from a legal role into a compliance role?
Yeah, I guess I'd say it's incumbent upon you to really understand the principles behind compliance. There are the technical principles like the federal sentencing guidelines that you should understand. And then there are the psychological principles of how do you communicate a message? How do you communicate to employees the importance of doing business with integrity? And because you are a substantive expert on an area of law, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a compliance expert. So it takes some study on the compliance angle, how to communicate the message, how to figure out what the key points are, how to tie the compliance message to an employee's job, their role in a company, and do all of that. And it can be done. And then you have to unlearn some of the habits that you have as a lawyer to be exhaustingly thorough on lots of things, because that is a message of frustration to employees that you never get to the point, or they can't figure out the point from all the detail they're provided. They don't want that information. They don't need it. And the worst situation will be is when they keep getting it, it'll turn them off to the importance of compliance in general. They'll just say, this is stuff from the lawyers. They don't understand what I do. I'm not going to pay attention to them because it's just not worth it. So make an effort, if you're trying to make this transition, to understand what is involved in compliance, not just in the substantive area, and of course, participating in SCCE programs, national or regional, is a great way to do that. And there are a lot of helpful articles in the Compliance Professional. And if you're just getting started, I commend you to all of those sources for more information.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that. thank you for the plug, and thank you for taking the time to share your experience with everyone today. I want to thank all of you who took the time to listen. This is Adam Turtletop from SCCE. I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.